Well, it is good to be here tonight. I'm real grateful to have this place of worship also and to have all of you here, and we can just praise God together, worship Him, and study His Word. Praise the Lord. That's a breath of fresh air. Sometimes I think the only sane people in the world are right here, you know, compared to everybody else I'm dealing with, but I'm sure there are a few others here and there. We're not going to find an abundance of them in New York. It seems like everybody's a little insane there. But we're going there tomorrow. Keep us in prayer. I won't go into any lengthy discussion on it, but all of you know already we're flying out tomorrow, 10:10 in the morning. And we should be in Newark by 2:30, 1:30 our time. And then we have to take our life in our own hands by getting on the New Jersey Turnpike at rush hour probably, and that's going to be far more dangerous than flying in a plane, Carol. You won't have to worry about that. If you think the plane's something, wait till you see the New Jersey Turnpike. You wonder how anybody'd ever get on that thing. It's incredible because people that work in Manhattan, in Hoboken, in all these different places in New Jersey, not to mention Newark itself, they all seem to use that same route number one, and it is really something. You have to get your rental car and just put your pedal to the metal and try to just splice in somewhere. And then you have to get off from it to get onto the Gothels Bridge, which is a toll bridge. And once you're on that, then you're fine because you're off the turnpike. And then pretty soon you're on Staten Island, which is probably the best place to stay in New York City. It's about like Madison as far as the feel of it. Well, that's not too good either. But it's, you know what I mean, it isn't the huge, no skyscrapers or anything. It's a little bit more remote. So we're planning to watch the eclipse of the moon tomorrow night. If you want to go outside, if it's not raining, if the clouds aren't hindering, you may want to see that. I heard another report yesterday morning, the meteorologists and astronomers say that because of the position of the moon and the longitudinal mass of terrestrial dust that we're looking through, it will amplify it, it's supposed to be blood red. And that would be the second blood red moon that we will have had this year. The first one was right at the Passover time, was accompanied by a comet. This one is right on the very day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Old Testament feast, and is accompanied by another comet, the Hale-Bopp comet, which should be appearing any day. In some places it already has appeared. So you got two blood red moons, both of them accompanied by different comets. This is really very unusual. And the Lord did tell us there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. We've had our share of that too, haven't we? So we have to watch for these signs. The Lord said watch and pray. And we want to do that. So that should be starting, I think, around 8:15, 8:30. And, of course, what happens with an eclipse, it's always during a full moon. Or an eclipse of the sun is, you know, whether it be the moon or the sun, the moon is always full in an eclipse, is what I'm trying to say. In this case, the earth gets between the sun and the moon, and you see the earth's shadow on the moon's surface. And I think it's rather appropriate that the earth's shadow, earth will cast a shadow of blood red. So that's exactly what's going on in our earth right now. We have violence, we have turmoil, we have trouble. We have a beast with a wicked nature that has seized upon this earth for a short time. Their days are numbered, but nevertheless, that's the time frame that we're in. And I guess with that thought in mind, let's pray and start in with Isaiah chapter 28. But please remember to keep us in prayer. We need your prayers at all times, and we'll be praying for you also. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, this night that we can gather in thy name now to study thy word. And I pray that thou wouldst give us wisdom and strength and discernment and power from on high. O Lord, that thou wouldst lead us and guide us in the way of all truth and righteousness is our prayer. That thou wouldst bind every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every hindering power, everything that would oppose thy people, thy word, and thy kingdom. O Lord, let every unclean thing be cast out and made powerless in thy sight. Let thy word have the preeminence in our hearts. Let our faith be great. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. In the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah, We'll start with the very first verse, of course. It begins by saying, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim." Now let me just mention at the outset that Ephraim here became a word that denoted all of Israel. In other words, when Ephraim was said, it referred to all of Israel. "Whose glorious beauty is a fading flower." Notice, something had happened. Some evil element had come into Israel that caused Israel to begin to be a fading flower. As a nation, as a people, they were a people in trouble. And I also want to mention that as a nation and as a people here in the United States, we're in a lot of trouble. Because there is an element at work that's making this happen and bringing this about. We need to understand that. "Which are on the head of the fat valleys." Now, fat here means prosperous. "Of them that are overcome with wine." See, in those days, they had wine. Nowadays, we've got wine, and we've got all kinds of hard liquor, and we have got heroin, and we've got methadone, and we've got every kind of pot and all kinds of drugs and different things that people use. Anything that will alter the state of consciousness. It's kind of amazing that we find it's almost universal throughout our land. There aren't just certain areas of where people are druggies and drunkards. It's universal, isn't it? People have taken hold of these things in order to fill their innermost being with something. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just a fleshly desire to get high or to get low or to get anywhere in between. It's a spiritual void within them whereby they go and take this stuff and try to feed a spirit that's making them feel a need. You have to understand that. A spirit, a devil, if it gets a hold of a person, will always produce a need and an appetite. Whether it be for drugs, whether it be for sex, whether it be to knock somebody's nose off. If there's always going to be an appetite generated by a spirit. And then you get these psychologists to get a hold of them, or psychiatrists, and they lay them down on a couch for $150 an hour, and they've got more devils than the guy they're analyzing. See, they're in worse shape. As I've said 100 times before, anybody goes to a psychiatrist ought to have his head examined. Never go to one of those. All right? And there's a lot, if you wonder about that, I can give you a lot of reasons why. Now, because, by the way, you are a square peg in a round hole to start with. As a Christian, you don't fit in. Or hadn't you noticed that yet? The Bible tells us over and over this world is not our home. And when you've got people who are trying to be Christians and make this world their home, they're going to be compromising. They're going to want to have, they'll get in a situation where they want to have all the religions come together as one for the sake of unity. You see, in other words, set the doctrine aside, set the truth aside. Let's just unify on the basis of compromise. Which is really no basis at all, because God is opposed to it. He said, "Come out from among them and be ye..." What's he doing here? He's drawing a line, isn't he? He's putting a separation in there between them and ye. Okay? "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Everybody who is in a compromising position is involved in some unclean thing. You can be sure of it. Amen. Where you have separation from the world, you have holiness. You have standards. You have principles. You have scruples. You have things you can build upon. But in compromise, there's a wearing effect, and there is a disintegration of all those things. That's why compromise is so evil. That's why the United Nations is so evil. That's why Union Theological Seminary, we'll be seeing that by the way, is so evil. Because it's all based on compromise. Remember, it was at Union Theological Seminary where Rockefeller, old John D. Rockefeller, picked a man by the name of Dr. Harry F. Ward long ago to begin to teach particularly Methodist student ministers how to cast doubts into their congregations regarding the virgin birth, regarding the deity of Jesus Christ. When you can build Bible schools and seminaries to crank out reverends and then give them a little white collar and a certificate and send them on their merry way off to a congregation, and you've manufactured them on an assembly line in a Bible school, and you've taught them homiletics and apologetics and all these other things, and how to maneuver and manipulate and bring crafty insinuations and do a lot of doubt casting, you can do a number on so-called Christianity. You can tear anything apart. And they've done it. That's why the religious world is in the condition it's in today, tonight. Now, let's read on here. He's actually pronouncing a woe. The word woe is opposite of blessing. These people are overcome with wine. Now, not only Mogen David or Manischewitz or those different brands or Muscatel. See, I know the names. I grew up in a worldly family. But spiritual wine. What have the nations drunk of? A cup called the cup of Babylon. And therefore, the Bible says the nations are mad, meaning insane. Now, they're insane. And one of the signs of insanity is when the insane think that the sane are insane. Okay? I mean, they're thinking that we're nuts. These tree huggers, mosquito lovers. You know, I can, when I said mosquito lovers, it's because there was a court injunction that was obtained at one point where this man had a junkyard with old tires. He'd accumulate them until he would sell them. And of course, when the rain would come, it would fill the insides of those tires with water. And it was a breeding ground for mosquitoes. So he decided he'd better get rid of the tires. And there was a court injunction filed against him by animal rights advocates, saying that they did not want the habitat of the mosquitoes interrupted. And they say I'm nuts. They're 100% completely dingy. They're around, they're way out there somewhere. Huh? Way out, oh, way out there. And the Environmental Protection Agency comes along in Alaska and says, you've got to take a certain percentage of contaminants out of your water. If you don't take them out of there, you are in violation. You will be fined every day. So the state of Alaska, I should say Alaska State, that's really the way it should be said. See, if you say Alaska State, then you're not cooperating with the state of New Columbia deal. But Alaska State said we can't comply. It's impossible because we don't have that many contaminants in our water. In fact, our water is over 99% pure and clear. Our federal government forced them to dump fish guts into the water and contaminate it so they could then comply with taking the fish guts and contaminants and bacteria out of the water again so they could say they complied with extracting this stuff. And they're going to say, maybe it's a black helicopter up there. And and they say, we're nuts. Well, don't worry, if they got the big ear on, let's give them something to listen to. Praise the Lord. Maybe the governor's up there lending an ear. Huh? Then he'll head right back for the house of the temple over there in Madison and do his ritual work. You know, these people that get involved in all of this nonsense and witchcraft, they're going to have to learn something real quick. You don't mess around with Christian people. Now, you can do it for a while, but eventually the hand of God's going to strike. And when it does, it'll come down real hard. Amen. Their days are numbered. Now, they don't like hearing that either. Okay, every so often one of them will bite the dust and it'll bring them to the reality, hey, I got to do that someday too. I got to bite the dust. Remember Rothschild that died here? Amschel Rothschild in his 40s? He was the successor to the whole Rothschild kingdom. And somebody killed him, strangled him to death in his hotel room in France. They die too, don't they? I mean, the Lord will look at things and say, that's enough. And he'll allow these things to happen. He's interrupted them many times. And I'll tell you, through prayer, you can give them much to worry about. Amen. Now, it says in verse 2, behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Ask the people in North and South Carolina about that one. Ask the people in Florida a few years ago about that one. Or in Virginia, all the way up the coast. You know, the Lord sends fearsome weather sometimes, and there's absolutely nothing anybody can do about it. People can say, oh, we see it coming. We can predict it with our satellites and predict it with our barometric pressure readings and the computers and all that. Well, predict all you want. It'll come in and flood you out anyway. See, but they got to be real smart about it, you know? Sandra.
Jesus said they could predict the weather.
But they can't discern the signs of the times. Exactly. No matter how intelligent and sophisticated they may become, you'll never stop the mighty hand of God. And you'll never discover the truth, but in one way. And that's to get down on your knees and call out to God and ask Him to reveal it to you. And people just don't want, people are so proud that they don't want to wrinkle the cuffs in their trousers, or crease in their trousers, rather. For me to humble myself before the Almighty God, that's all you can do before the Almighty God, is humble yourself. But you see, when man becomes his own God, then he has nothing, as far as he's concerned, that he should be humble about, you see? It's bad enough they made idols of wood and stone and metal and worshiped those things. But when they get to the point where they worship themselves, that's got to be the ultimate in idiocy. I was, a week ago, I was in a trophy shop buying that clock for my wife, that anniversary clock. And incidentally, I want to thank the congregation on behalf of my wife and myself from our hearts for that beautiful, beautiful clock that you bought for us. I know you work hard for your money, and I know it was an expensive clock, and we thank you for it. We really appreciate it. Very, very nice. It chimes. And I always like those old-fashioned clocks. It's a real clock. It's made with real wood. It's got real brass wheels and springs. And it's mechanical. I like that. That's the good old days. Amen. So I just wanted to interject that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. There was a little trisagion of gratitude there. Okay. So anyway, now, I want to look at verse 3. We talked about how God can come in and just devastate an area quickly. Verse 3 says, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. That's what judgment will do. They're going to be trodden down. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley, the fruited plain, that Rush Limbaugh talks about all the time, shall be a fading flower. And it is. It is right now. And as the hasty fruit before the summer, that's the first fruit, the first that's ready, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. See what he's doing here? In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. When we watch the nations of this world make one mistake after another, and all the people that are stupid enough to follow the Antichrist system, make one mistake after another, after another, after another, and get hit with judgment after judgment after judgment, what do? We see the greatness and the glory of God. We worship Him because we know it's His hand that's doing this. He said, "My glory will I not give to another." So what if they can predict the weather and discern the face of the sky? They're completely missing the signs of the times, aren't they? Amen. And the residue of His people are going to glorify Him. Verse 6 says, "And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment." Oh, I got to go back after something. See, when you speak extemporaneously, sometimes you forget, and then you get reminded later. The Lord usually taps me on the shoulder, so to speak, and reminds me of something. I was saying I was in this trophy shop, remember? Then I went off on this thank you, thank you, thank you thing, and I lost my train of thought. Toot, toot. And anyway, in this trophy shop, they had this huge setting mall. It was a gavel. You know, the judge always has the gavel. That's his walnut cracker, you know. That's what he hits that gavel on there, and that's supposed to be that's it. That's final. He hits that gavel down, that's it, you know. Gives him a feeling of power. It's kind of like giving a pacifier to a baby, you know. He's got to have his hand on something to make himself feel important. A little toy to play with, a little gavel, see? They had this huge gavel that looked like the size of an axe. The handle was about 3.5, almost 4 feet long. It was absolutely huge. And a big head on that thing. It was like a gigantic Goliath-sized gavel. And I said to the proprietor, "What is that?" And she said, "Oh, that is an exact replica of what is used to open the Democratic and Republican national conventions." I can just see him. I've never seen it. I can just see him with that big old hammer. Boom, you know. But what it really is a Masonic setting mall. That's what they do use for the third degree. You see, when you get to the third degree, it's where you become a Hiram. Huh? Get wrapped in the head with it. Can you, grown adults, you know? And they come along and you're blindfolded and they wrap you on the head with this thing and they go through this little ritual and then you fall down, you're dead, and then the worshipful master raises you up to walk in newness of life and you are born again. See, when Jimmy Carter said he was born again, he was a born again Baptist, he was born again in the lodge. He was entered, passed, and raised. See? That was his born again. So you got to watch these guys go around talking about being born again. That doesn't mean like in the Bible. That can mean like in the lodge. Now Billy Graham would be very quick to tell you he's been born again. And he won't tell you it was in the lodge though. Anyway, it's amazing. But that thing was just, if you ever get a chance to go to CJ Trophy in Oshkosh, just go and look at that thing. It's just incredible. That's the biggest gavel I've ever seen. It's actually a setting mall. But they got to have that to open the convention. That's part of their ritual. It's all part of Baal worship, if you really want to follow it all back. Because that setting mall is designed to be used with... See, you enter the lodge as a rough ashlar. And through the tools, the doctrines of masonry, you become a smooth ashlar, don't you? They perfect you, and you become a god, really. You have an Ein Sof, a deity within. Your IQ is your own god. And you're led actually to a place to worship yourself. The Bible says it is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. Anyway, so much for that. So it tells us then, in verse 6, "And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink." In other words, they're out of their gourd. The error in vision. When you get to the point where you've had so much you can't see straight. Huh? Do you ever talk to these guys that get a real bender on and they've had quite a few and they start seeing double? Like the two drunks talking, the one said, I got to quit doing this because I drive down the road and I always see two cars coming right at me. The other one says, forget about it, don't worry about it, keep drinking, just always aim for the one on the right, you make it every time. Huh? That's the way people think. They try to find a way around it. But when you get to the point where you can't see straight, it says they stumble in judgment. What cup have they been? Now think about this spiritually. Remember, not just something you imbibe with. Think about this spiritually. Have the leaders of our nation in the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, in the Just Us department, and all of these different divisions, have they drunk into the cup of Babylon? Have they had so much they can't see straight and they can't think straight and they are perverse in their judgments and there is no justice, there is no equity? It's because they're drunk on the wine of Babylon. It's a spiritual drunkenness. And they've had so much. Look at the next verse. Verse 8, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. When it's so bad you got a table, there isn't even a clean spot, the whole thing's full of puke. Huh? That's how God sees this system. They drink from the cup of Babylon and puke all over. In fact, George Bush literally did it in Japan. Remember? All the TV cameras were on him, and they're having this meeting, and here's the delegate from Japan sitting next to him, the leader, prime minister, I think it was. And all of a sudden, of course, he had been taking Halcyon, you know. All of a sudden, he started looking for Ralph. Blah! All over the place. That looked real stately, didn't it? Well, he couldn't help it necessarily, but you might say, well, that was Halcyon did that. I think he had a few swigs out of the cup of Babylon, though, too. I think this verse can be fulfilled spiritually and literally. All tables are full of vomit. You know, in every endeavor in the university system, the so-called educational, but truly the indoctrinational system, and in all of the mind-bending and thought-twisting machinery of the Illuminati, you're going to come up with distorted views. I heard today that down in Lexington, North Carolina, I don't know, some of you might have heard this, there was a 6-year-old boy in school. And he reached over, and this 6-year-old, 6 years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six, not 16 or 26, six. This little girl asked this little boy to give her a kiss on the cheek, so he went over and, mwah, you know, gave her a little peck on the cheek. The report that I heard said that when the teacher saw it, she grabbed the boy, took him into the counselors, the principal came in, they all come in, they have charged this boy with sexual harassment at age 6. They expelled him from school. They said he cannot go to the ice cream party. See, the problem with this is later on the little boy was playing soccer in his yard and suddenly a TV crew pulled up and a man in a bush, hiding in a bush with a trench coat on, came out and said, there's the little sex offender. And they started shooting pictures of this kid that kissed this little girl on the cheek. He doesn't know about sexual anything. He's 6 years old. You see? But what they've done to him, can you imagine being pulled in and talk to these counselors and talk to the principal and all this awful thing you did? And one of the instructors made the statement, it was a female, of course, feminazi. She said that this just goes to show you that men and boys of any age are all sexual predators. Here's a 6-year-old sexual predator that gave her a little peck in the cheek. Never touched her. And she asked him to do it. Well, what's happened? Talk about perverse judgment. What's going to happen to this poor little 6-year-old boy? I mean, look what he's got to go through now with all these psychiatrists and everything. Well, they put that in people. In fact, this same Now group that really is behind all of this state that all women should avoid men. What are they going to do? They want to be lesbians, don't they? Avoid men because all sex is rape. All of it. Because the women are just deceived into thinking they want it. It's really the men are deceiving them, and it's all rape. 100%. Now they're out there teaching that kind of junk. The rest of his life. He's marked as for sexual harassment. He's been marked a sexual predator. Well, his mother tried to say he didn't even, you know, he's just an innocent little kiss. Oh, no, 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 there's no such thing. He had no right to do that. Now this girl has been violated. She's become a victim. This little girl, just, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Well, maybe they should get her for enticement, you know, for soliciting. Huh? Why not equalize the whole thing out, Gordon? Oh. Yeah, they really set them up, don't they? Sandy? Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I remember on my report cards from school, I still remember it always had the subject, you know, math, social studies, and all this. And there was a little section on there, applied what he has learned, yes or no, right? Now, what do you do when you come to sex education? What are you going to check? Applies what he has learned? How do you apply it? Yep.
And I heard there was a man in England who spanked his child, and they tried to get him for, you know,
abuse.
Was
Right.
100%. And they're never going to be satisfied. So, you know, a few of us, we can stand in the end.
Right.
They can't stand us.
As long as you don't drink of that cup, you'll be all right. And by the way, that's some spiked punch. Huh? There's stuff in there you don't know is in there. And it's some pretty nasty stuff. Spiritually speaking now. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, the things that you talk about erring through wine and strong drink and so forth, that is precisely what has happened. People can't think straight anymore. You know, it takes a drunk to understand a drunk, too. They'll put their arms around each other and commiserate about all their troubles they're trying to drown out. I mean, to a sober person, a drunk is obnoxious, right? But you get two drunks together, and they can be the best of friends. They can puke in each other's pocket and like each other. Huh? If they're drunk enough. Barb? Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, how would you like that to happen to your child and the camera crews pull up? Wouldn't you like to just get out there and start blasting away? You know? And drive them out. What a bunch of piranhas. To go out there and this little boy can't even play soccer in his backyard now because all these trench coat guys with the cameras. There's the little sex maniac, you know? He's white, yeah. Yeah. He doesn't even know what's going on. But they're trying to tell him how reprehensible his behavior is. But notice they didn't say anything about the little girl who asked him to do it. She was the victim. They got to have a little female victim. Because after all, they're trying to plant this thought that all men and all boys are just a bunch of heavy breathers and just predators of women, just wild sex maniacs. If you're male, that's what you are. See? Sure. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Oh, yes. Darlene? Yeah, that's another thing, too. They want to try these children as adults. And what's going to happen to this little 6-year-old boy? He's scarred for life. He'll never forget that. Oh, you don't want to do that. Isn't it something? It's incredible. Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, let's read on. Go a little farther here. I want to take another 10 minutes yet before we close. So time goes so quickly. But these are such amazing times we're living in. So verse 9 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? You get to the point where you have to ask, anybody out there that can hear anymore? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. In other words, those that will go back to square one and start using common sense again and start all over. There's something to be said about being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Go back and start all over, because if you've gone down the wrong road, that's all you can do. You stay on the wrong road, there's no way to fix the situation. You're on the wrong road. The wrong road will take you where you don't want to go. So you've got to be born again. You've got to start over. See? For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. See, one step at a time, right? Here a little and there a little. There's no way to know it all and have it all at once. There has to be something called spiritual growth. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? There you had some people, about 120 of them, starting all over again. Starting being brought forth as a new nation. As the power of the Spirit of God came down, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire that sat upon each one of them. This is what it's talking about. The reason we know that is because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul refers back to this very verse, or these very verses. And he's saying, this will bring you rest. What do? You go back, you're born again as a little baby with stammering lips and another tongue praising God. Of course, the Catholic charismatics have had a heyday with that one, haven't they? And, you know, the devil hasn't missed a lick. You know that? Everything that God ever did or ever said he would do, there's a counterfeit of it. And I want to show you something as we read on. I can perhaps come back to this and elaborate on it more, but I've got to get to just a little more of this to put it all together. And that probably won't happen tonight from the looks of it. There's too much to cover it all. But you understand what he's saying here. You've got to go back, be born again. Amen. And you have to even learn how to talk like a little child has to learn how to talk, don't they? These little babies aren't born, and I mean, they start crying. They don't start to have a conversation with the doctor, or, of course, or midwife, or whatever, or their own mother. They have to learn to talk. As a child of God, as a Christian, we're born again of the water and of the Spirit. You have the same thing. You rise to walk in newness of life, but we start out as a baby Christian, and we grow. Some people grow real fast. But there is a new birth experience with God. There has to be, because it's declared in His Word. Now watch this. He said in I want to read 12 again. To whom He said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear. Didn't say they could not hear. Said they would not hear. There's a difference, isn't there? But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. What does that mean? God gave them a little at a time, and a little at a time, and a little at a time. And by giving people a little at a time, He was sorting them out. It was a sifting process. Who really is going to follow and obey and do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord? Who's going to understand? Isn't that what he started out with? Whom shall he teach knowledge? By giving it a little at a time, you can tell if people are receiving it or not. I could preach what I'm preaching tonight to some people, and they wouldn't even be at square one. They wouldn't have the foggiest what I was talking about. They'd think I was an absolute lunatic. That's actually a good sign. Amen. Now watch this. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." And what are these rulers? People that are ruling, that are calling the shot. Pride factor. Like the guy who was an umpire in a baseball game. Three of them out there. One says, "I calls them as I sees them." Another one says, "I sees them as I calls them." The other one says, "They ain't nothing till I calls them." That's the way these people get. Huh? That pride. Like the mosquito riding on a toothpick down the Mississippi River hollering, "Open the drawbridge, I'm coming through." Big stuff, huh? God looks at people and what are they? Dust. Can blow away with the next wind. Now watch what happens here. I've got to get to this part because it's heavy stuff. Amen. Verse 15 says, "Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." Do you ever wonder why these ministers wear a long black robe? Judges do that too. Ministers wear a long black robe, then they put a white one over the top of the black. Did you ever hear of a wolf in sheep's clothing? Huh? But they like to do that, don't they? What have they done? Made an agreement with hell. They shook on it. They're set up with it. Made a covenant with death, an agreement with hell. Nothing's going to hurt us because, see, they pervert the 23rd Psalm. I heard a kid do that one time. I almost smacked him. I was just a brand new baby Christian at the time. That's why, boy, it was a good thing for him I had the Holy Ghost or I'd have knocked his head off. He started quoting the 23rd Psalm and he did it in a perverted way. And that's one thing I got no tolerance for. But what he was saying is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the death, I fear no evil because I'm the evilest one in the valley." Huh? But that's what they're saying here. I mean, we've made an agreement with hell, a covenant with hell, with death, and nothing's going to hurt us because, you know, the devil's going to help us. We've made lies our refuge. Who's the father of lies? And under falsehood, have we hid ourselves? Boy, if that isn't the system we're under right now, then what is it? "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also I will lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet." You're going to be measured by heaven's standards, you see? "And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. For that from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night." See, this time of judgment has already begun. And it's one nightmare after another, isn't it, in this country? "And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report." Are you reading the newspaper every so often being vexed by it? Just to hear of the things people do, partial birth abortions and all this stuff, it's a vexation. And as it says here, it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. But what's happening? The Lord says that he will pour out his judgment and it's going to overtake them. Now when Jesus hung on the cross, we know he kept the covenant, remember? I explained that, I think, within the past week. He kept the covenant man could not keep. He did it. But he did something else. He also broke the covenant with hell. Anybody who made a covenant and agreement with the devil, anybody who signed up with hell, anybody who made that, as it's talking about here, that agreement with the powers of Antichrist, there is no covenant that can stand because of the power of the blood. Every covenant is broken. You know, there really, when you think about it, there aren't very many covenants that have stood. The only one I know of that's ever stood the test of time is that the Lord has made with his people through the blood of Jesus Christ. That covenant stands. One time I heard Harry S. Truman, that 33rd degree Mason, he was complaining about Khrushchev. He had a tool, you can go to the library and get it. I think it's on tape now. But there were two records at the time. And I played those records and listened to them. Harry Truman was talking about, he was bragging about himself quite a bit. One of the things he said, now he was accused of being in a secret society, the Masons. Harry Truman himself, and I heard this with my own ears, he said, "I am a 33rd degree Mason in the Scottish Rite, and I'll be damned if I know any secrets." Huh? He went out, there was a meeting of the Ku Klux Klan, and he went out one time, and they had the big cross burning, and they were all standing there in procession, and the Grand Imperial Wizard was up there. Harry Truman dismissed the Secret Service agents. He said this himself. They said, "Okay, we'll stay here," but they didn't want to leave him for a minute. He walked directly up to the Grand Imperial Wizard and said, "All of you go home." And people thought, what a brave man. What a wonderful, can you imagine the bravery of that man, Harry S. Truman, to go right into a Klan meeting with hundreds of members and dismiss them and send them all home? Well, they were just listening to their superior officer, that's all. That's why they went home. He was in the Knights of the Golden Circle. See? It was no big danger to him. But you got to remember, all of these different organizations somehow pinwheel off from the Illuminati, and they will exploit, craftily exploit, lefts and rights. Thesis plus antithesis equals synthesis, right? The Hegelian dialectic. You understand what I'm saying? You play both ends against the middle. And you get all these people to join organizations and join organizations. Then they're on a list. Then you've got them pigeonholed. Now you can manipulate that whole organization without the membership within each one even knowing what's going on or what they're really a part of in the big picture. That's the way it works. They call it a hoodwink. I want to close with this. I just want to mention something. Our president, if you can call him that, I hesitate to call him my president, but the president of this country, Billy Blythe, alias William Jefferson Blythe Clinton, recently went over to 42nd Street in New York. I don't think he took the crosstown bus. I'm sure he had a special ride. But he went into the United Nations building over there on Roosevelt Drive. We'll be going there too. He stood in front of the General Assembly and he made a speech. And his speech was quite remarkable. I can't believe really that he said what he said. And I would like to get a copy of it in its entirety. But the gist of it is this. He said, "We, as the United Nations," he says, "we cannot do more now, because there are so many people in the United States, American people, that believe the United Nations is the seat of the New World Order. There are so many people that believe in the black helicopters." Huh? "There are so many people that believe that there is a conspiracy in the United Nations." He said that the people of the United States are just, many of them are just not cooperating. And it was like he was a crybaby, like he was making a campaign speech. He was basically saying, we'd like to do more. We'd like to pay our share. Pay our share? We paid everybody else's share for years. We shouldn't even be in that. Best thing we could do is get the United Nations out, get the UN out of the US, get the US out of the UN. You know what? I'm one of those guys he was talking about. Do you realize how many newsletters, videotapes, audio tapes, printed materials are being circulated across this country, coast to coast? And how many people are finding out about these things? There are a lot of people that are still in the state of, huh? Because they've been brain laundered. They launder their brain, they press it and put pleats in it and everything else. How can they think straight? Starch it good? And you tell them this stuff is a conspiracy and this stuff is all going on. Huh? Dumb look, you know. It's not totally their fault. But that's what's happening. They just had never heard about it before. I've been getting letters from people, so many new ones all the time, saying, could you send me material? This is the first I ever heard of this. This is intriguing. This is scary. This is really something. And they suddenly discover it. And it's kind of amazing because when you do discover it, one of the things that hit me when I did, I realized what the devil had done and what was going on. So I thought, now what are we going to do? Now what are we going to do? You know, as if now we're right at the brink of falling off. But you know what? It had been going on for many, many, many years. And I just discover it, and I shouldn't be afraid. I mean, it was just as dangerous before I knew about it as when I know about it. But now that I know about it, I can deal with it in whatever way God uses me. See, and he uses all of us differently. We will talk to somebody, and that person may reach 1,000 people. Huh? It's amazing how it works. I got another letter from New Zealand, I think it was. This person said, would you allow me to reprint your newsletter? I want to circulate it everywhere. Sure. That's why I'm putting it out there. I send out 900 of them, and I know of several places that mass produce them by the thousands and send them all over. We'll send some to Australia and they mass produce them and they flood Australia with them, all over Australia. Hearing new people write in all the time. Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, Scotland, France, coming from every direction. People are reproducing, he's translating them into other languages. And it's incredible. People are finding out. I think there's going to be an awakening. I'm looking for a remnant people to really wake up and do exploits for the Lord. I'm not looking for big, massive revivals. The Bible doesn't say that. Billy Graham says that. But to the four corners of the earth, there will be people who will hear it and something will click and they'll grab onto it because the Lord touched them. And that's what we're looking for, is that remnant to wake up. Like I said, there was one man who wrote in and he said, I used to work for the ATF. And he said, and I found out and I left it and I started a militia. I'm just telling you what he told me. He said, I'm fighting them now. So people are really starting to realize, and that's what Bill Clinton was talking about. There are so many, he said, there's so many believers in black helicopters, in foreign troops on our soil. And, well, there are! He said, and that's why America can't do more for the UN. People just aren't cooperating. Thank God for non-cooperation with evil. Well, amen. So the Word of God then, I think, tells us very clearly that there's a plummet that is laid. There's a measuring line that'll show just how crooked and perverse the system is. And thank God for that righteousness of the Lord that measures all things accurately. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for the Bible study tonight. We thank thee for all of these people, and I pray that thy blessing would be upon them and that thou wouldst lift them up and help them and bless them in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Lord, I pray that thou wouldst rebuke every devil that would hinder us and help us to have great faith and great fortitude and to do thy will. Lord, use us, I pray, in the city of New York that we might do a work there as directed by thee, O God. And I just pray that everyone here would be faithful, that thou wouldst bless thy people. We just ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.